Seat yourself here on KFGO, a lunchtime conversation where we bring in our friends and coworkers and we have lunch and a conversation. In the studio with us from Afternoons Live is Tyler Axness, producer. Tyler Axness is producer. I was going to say Tyler Axness. Eric Johnson.
Sentence you've been in a while.
It's okay. We just met.
Yeah, Eric and I.
Yeah.
Barely know each other.
Yeah. Eric is my longest running friendship to date. It won't get longer than Eric and I. We've been friends since we were four.
Four years old.
Yeah.
In the Hunter Fire Hall daycare.
It doesn't get to be a longer friendship than that. So, but Veronica Michael, our guest today on Seat Yourself, joins us. And we just realized we've known each other for over 20 years.
Wow. That's amazing, isn't it?
That's amazing.
By the way, those 20 years went really fast.
They really did go fast. We're going to be friends for
AV
20
and
more.
JJ
too.
Are the newest friendship.
We're the newest friendship.
Indeed.
We are, yes.
We're making up for lost time, right?
We are.
We got a movie date tonight already.
We do, yeah.
We're going to pack it all in.
We're going to pack it in real quick. Okay, Veronica Michael, tell us your story in a nutshell. Someone doesn't know you. There's someone listening that doesn't know you. What's the Cliff Notes version of the Veronica Michael story?
Yeah. So, Veronica Michael, graduated from Climax High School, Climax, Minnesota, class of 17, and went on to MSUM. I'm a dragon. I got my degree in English and Women's Studies and then went into higher ed for a long time.
Which is how we met.
Yeah, it was how we met at that 20-year point. And then I jumped from there at my 40th year. I'm 50 now.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I'm better and better. And
I'm 50.
And I got into agricultural hemp, and that's my story.
Okay, hold on. That's a pretty big leap.
That's such a big leap.
No. That's the standard progression, right? You go from high school to college to education to hemp.
Right, yeah. I forget about that. There's all those former educators who've gone into the hemp world. How does that happen?
You know, great question. So for me, it happened that I had to have a whole bunch of surgeries. And was not well. I had some problems with my thyroid. And luckily, I was in higher ed, working, great insurance, able to take care of my health, and looking for alternatives to ease my pain because I can't take an opioid.
Sure.
So it really started my journey and opened my eyes to something that I didn't think. I remember my parents like, what are you going to do when you leave your job? Is that legal? But that was really the leap for me, was trying it for myself, trying some different cannabinoids and thinking, wow, this is it, man.
And now, I mean, when you think about where we've come in the last 5 years even, it went as something like you said, is that legal? You know, am I allowed to bring this into the state of Minnesota? I'm not sure. To it, you know, in all honesty, you can't turn around without seeing CBD sold here, infused oil, you know, lavender scented, and it's everywhere.
Everywhere.
But that is a big leap, though, to be like, okay, this is now my passion. How do I do this?
Yes, it is a big leap because then you have to go find your other founders. You have to raise money, you know, bring investors in, pivot like 5 million times, starting a business in COVID. But I think for us, it was the right time to jump into some different kind of technologies in agriculture, and then to think about how people were, just like you said, the ideas are changing. Mm-hmm. People aren't like whispering it to me, like, what are you doing anymore? And Minnesota has made a great change, which allowed us, you know, we created Prairie Products first to jump into the Minnesota state with another concept, Alternative Prairie, and starting to sell low-dose edibles.
Oh, cool.
I'm curious about jumping into the world of agriculture because it's not an inexpensive maneuver no matter what level you're doing it at. So did you team up with another producer on some level? Did you start completely from scratch? What was the intro to agriculture like for
you? Yeah, so it was completely from scratch. I was really fortunate with our founders at Prairie, Dave Holland, Tom. We got together as a group, Mary, and talked about, hey, we know we want to do this. You know, now let's go look at what everyone else is doing to see, like, what focus do we want to have? For us, we knew, being from an agricultural state and region, that we wanted to be that interface between the farmer growing the product and people making finished products. So we knew we wanted to be an extraction, and exactly like you said, It's a lot of technology. It was new technology outside of the soybean folks in our region. And but once we started talking to people about it, they really caught on to the concept. So, yes, it was a big lift because it was like, okay, we know we want to do this thing. Let's find out exactly the way we want to do it and then raising money for equipment.
So you end being, I don't want to use the word like, you know, like you're not the middle management on this thing. But in all honesty, you now have access to a product that everyone is looking to put into existing products, right?
Right.
So we've heard of everyone from the breweries all the way up to skincare and so on and so forth. Your phone must be ringing off the hook right now. A lot of people, I imagine, really want to get into, you know, the business of being able to have a product that meets that need.
Exactly. It's an interesting time because a lot of people want to be in the product. They want to formulate something or produce something, but we're connected to the growers and we make that concentrate. So it is a unique time. We have started a few of our own products. You know, if you go to alternativeprairie.com, you can see our chill pill, which is a really cool concept because it's just a chewable tablet, sugar-free. If you're a keto person, you know, you're not looking for something with sugar. We did one of my favorites, which I was in Innovate North Dakota, but they gently asked me to leave, which was a drink mix. You just took this powder, pour it into, you know, 4 to 6 ounces of liquid and drink it that way. So It is. It's a very unique time.
So because this is a new world, right? I mean, even industrial hemp, it's about a decade that you've been able to cultivate it.
Correct.
Based on the Farm Bill. How do you keep up with the changing science of it on your level? Because, I mean, this is a whole new world, and research is happening at kind of fantastic speeds as we speak. How do you, in your position, keep up with that?
Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad you asked that because this English major does a lot of research.
Right. I was going to say, like, you're an English women's studies major. When I met Veronica, she's, like, running the admissions office at MSUM, and now she's like, let's talk about the agricultural advancements for industrial hemp. What? Who are you?
I think, you know, I am a learner. I love to learn. And once I'm kind of almost just too nerdy, I get a little out of control. So it's constant. You're just constantly reading. And for me, you know, connecting with people around the country that are doing the science we want to bring it back to our lab. So, yeah, it's a lot of constant learning because it's hemp. It's constantly pivoting.
Okay, I just want to make a quick comment on learning because it made me think of this. So I'm a big fan of, hey, listen, not every single person learns the exact same way. And I think that our educational system, especially K-12, needs to recognize the fact that people absorb information in different ways. I really think that there is something to the TikTokification of education, because I will talk to somebody who's like, oh yeah, I watched like 9 TikToks last night on this particular topic. And then now they want to talk about it and they've got this information and they're excited to share it with me. And it can be anything. I saw a math TikToker who writes raps on how to memorize equations. And I really think that there's something there. So let me ask you that. Do you think that there's a world where we figure out a different way to educate people, and maybe it's in 30-second spurts, allowing people to go down their own rabbit holes?
Yeah, I do, actually. I think that we are, you know, from when I brought my typewriter to college, I think we are, you know, thinking so differently about how do we store information? How do we even gather? You know, from, you know, stacks of books real bookstores don't exist in the time I was in higher ed. Mm-hmm. That kind of changed out. So, yeah, I think from that piece to then how do we separate those new ways of technology? Can we listen? You know, for me, I love to listen to a podcast as I'm cleaning my house on a weekend or shoveling snow. And that's another way.
Sure.
I feel like there's so many ways where people can either get little bits of information or visually see it or just hear it or touch something in a different way. So I do. I feel like we're moving that way. And in a good way, I think young people are pushing us that way.
Yeah, I remember we got an Encyclopedia Britannica CD-ROM, and you referred to it as a CD-ROM back in the days. And I remember my mom thinking, wait a minute, you can search Elvis Presley, and then it plays a chunk of one of his songs, and then there's a video of an interview that he did, you know, when he was still alive. And she's like, you have no idea the information that your generation will be the first generation to experience this glut of anything you want to know about being available at your fingertips.
But to your point about you know, kids and young adults pushing us in this direction, college admissions, oof, are so different now. I mean, think of how much has changed just in a few decades with college admissions. Kids don't want to go to college anymore, and it's weird.
It is weird, right? I think that, you know, when we look back, for me, kind of in that heyday of the 90s where a lot of folks were going to college, we also had huge things happen between then and now. One is the price. Right. You know, the price to be college educated is very different for young people today than it even was for me. And when I talked to, like, my uncles, he was like, yeah, we had credits for $54 a credit. Like, yeah. What? You know, so that, I think, alone has just changed the landscape. The other thing is, if I looked back, although I love hemp and I want to stay in hemp, but if I looked back, I wish someone would have talked to me more about being a plumber or HVAC or, like, doing something different with my hands or other ways to have a business. And I feel like, in a good way, schools are coming back and talking about that again. But I don't know if it's a reflection of students not wanting to go to college or all these other complex issues around cost and access. What do you guys think?
I think that you're right. The service industries are where you're going to make money right now. I mean, we're just so in desperate need of people in this service industry. My son is 6, and so he thinks talking about poop is just funny. And so he was talking about, like, oh, I'm going to do something with poop when I grow up. You know, he was just being, and I was like, actually, no, stay there. That is actually like being a plumber, or, you know what I mean? Like, there are all these jobs around how service industries that are really, really good. And you're right. There was just this big push. It's, we got to get kids to college. You've got to get that 4-year degree. And don't get me wrong. I loved it. I loved my collegiate experience. I love my degree. I still use it. I still go back there. I loved my professors. I mean, I went into communications and now I'm in radio. So it just, you know, but I'm one of the few amongst this sea of kids that went and got an education and then got out and went, well, what am I going to do with this? And 15 years later, 20 years later, are still paying off the debt from that. Mm-hmm. And these kids are learning from it, thankfully. And they're like, I'm not going to go do that. So I think you're right.
Well, I think another big thing that we don't talk about enough is it's not just only where you get an apprenticeship, where you go to college, where you go to community college. Really, it's how you communicate with people, right? Because that makes the good plumber. That makes the good HVAC, because it's all those other skills. So I think in some ways we said, oh, go to college, get this certificate, but you can't be locked in your room the whole time, not participating with the world, making connections and friends, because that's really what, for all of us, really, you know, defines your career in so many ways.
It's amazing to me that we don't teach relationships, because that is what, I mean, from the very get-go, that is what dictates how well society is going to perceive you in some cases, how well you're going to have interpersonal relationships which directly correlate to your business. As someone who's recently started a business, Veronica, do you think that if you didn't have the ability to look someone in the eye or only wanted to contact via email, you would find success?
No.
Right?
No. And also, you know, through relationships, we learn to, like, regulate our emotions, right? So I can, after, you know, asking, maybe getting turned down, go to the bathroom and cry, and then I'm okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm okay.
Right.
Uh-huh. You know?
Yes. Teaching that coping. Uh-huh. Oh, Eric and I have talked about that so many times. Teaching coping skills to young children, it's a hard thing to do, but it's so necessary. Teach it at the collegiate level at this point. That would be fine, too.
Because if you don't take care of it early on, you just snowball into this horrible, horrible situation later on where someone goes, oh, sorry, I cut you off in traffic, and then they pull out a baseball bat and they, you know, smash your windshield.
Yes.
You're like, whoa.
Okay, would you say this is the best job you've ever had? The one that you have now?
Oh, my gosh. I feel like I had such good opportunities, you guys, that I can't. I feel like I've had 3 or 4 great jobs.
Okay, so this one?
This one, MSUM, love that place.
Yes.
I got to work with native students at NDSU through this really cool scholarship program for a period of time. And then working at Trollwood and Dakota Medical Foundation. Just like the experience of working at those two places. So, yeah, you see, I'm flush with good things.
You're flushed.
Yeah,
I'm flushed. You're flushed. Okay, we're going to ask you about your worst job when we come back then. We're going to get some bad stuff going. This is Seat Yourself. Veronica Michael, Eric Johnson, Amy Eiler, JJ Gordon, all here with you until 1 o'clock on KFGO. It's Seat Yourself on KFGO, brought to you by the South Fargo Dairy Queens. And we've got a little gastropub in front of us. So shout out to gastropub for providing lunch. Eric went basic pepperoni pizza. Eric eats like a four-year-old. And that's being mean to four-year-olds.
Yeah, that's insulting to four-year-olds.
Like, I mean, chicken nuggets, pepperoni pizza.
It doesn't get much better when it moves to me because I had chicken strips and fries.
Did you?
Yeah.
You went back to your old standby.
It's so good. I ate this meal for 10 years straight every Tuesday when I hosted trivia out there. It's comforting.
It is, yeah. It's your comfort
food.
Meal.
Yeah.
Veronica Michael is our guest today. What's your comfort food? What's your go-to? I've had a really bad day. I'm going to eat this and it's going to make all my problems.
Totally. Better. So I am West African and Lebanese.
Okay.
And my family makes something called palm nut oil. It's like palm oil soup. It's a different thing, but it is in my freezer all the time. Now that my grandmother has passed away, my stepmom makes it for me in little containers so I can freeze it.
Oh, fun. Okay, tell me what it would taste like. Give me something. Is there any equivalent that I could, does it look like?
So it looks more like, because I like it with beef. And it has spinach in it. So if you think of like a josh or something from Indian food,
mm-hmm. yeah.
but it has a red color because it's that palm oil is in it.
Sure.
So you put it over rice. So it's delish.
Yeah.
And very comforting. All the carbs you need when you're sad.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Mine is macaroni and cheese. Yeah. So yeah, same thing. Rice, macaroni and cheese. Yeah.
All carbohydrates.
We're all looking for some white bread when we're sad. That's really what it is. Okay, your first job, maybe not your worst job, but your first, like, what is little Veronica Michael decide is going to be their thing?
Yeah, so
at 14, 15, I don't know, when's your first job?
Exactly, so right around there. So yeah. Not a shocker, there's not a lot of, you know, employment for teens in Climax, Minnesota.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So I hoed sugar beets.
Hmm? You sure. did?
Yes. Yes, and it sucked.
Yeah, I bet. That was the worst. That was the first and the worst.
It was. It was bad. I remember after that, I was like talking to my friend Janann and saying, we should apply for jobs with the city and then we could paint like, you know.
We could paint things. Yeah.
Like paint things. Like the whatever.
The curbs. Yeah, we'll take care of it.
We'll do it. We'll plant
city
stuff.
City buildings.
Yeah,
exactly.
Get to run a weed whacker.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes. Exactly. So, but yeah, I would say the hardest and worst first was that hoeing beets. It helped me really think about my future decision.
Sure. Yes, it did.
A lot of long hours up and down a field in the hot summer days.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
Exactly. I did work briefly at a golf course, but I put the golf cart into the water feature on hole 2.
Oh, no.
It was a simple mistake. The brake, you know, it just wasn't sure if it was on. The brake was not on.
It was a roll.
It was, you know, when you see something slowly, horrifyingly happen to you, and you're like, oh my God, I can't actually hold on to this. Yeah, it was terrible.
I worked at it.
So do you just kind of quietly leave and never come back? Or are they like, don't come back again?
Actually, I get burned on the regular from my family about it now. Because, you know, it's a small town, so everyone knew in like 5 minutes of it happening. But you can't run.
Get ready.
Nowhere to go.
I just ran home.
Yeah. You still get that? You stop to fill up with gas and be like, oh, is that golf cart in the water, Veronica, over there?
Yeah.
Boy.
You still golf that well? Yeah, when all that crap.
I worked at WeFest for several years, and one of the scariest things ever is I was dealing with a situation, and I turned around, and my golf cart was gone. And the cardinal rule is you do not leave your key in a golf cart because there will be a drunk kid who hops in there and takes off. And so I immediately go, what? And I check around my neck, and my lanyard with the key on it is right there. And I'm like, what, what? And so then I see about 50 yards down, 9 people had picked it up, and they were carrying it away. And so I now am running down there, and I'm like, stop, stop. And then they all acted like, oh, this was yours? We thought this was abandoned. My buddy Mike has one just like it. We were just bringing it back to him.
Without the key.
Right.
Without the key, abandoned. Just carrying it.
And I'm going to say that and grab a car.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought this was Dolly's. Whoops. God, forgot about that.
love that.
What's your favorite vehicle you've ever had the pleasure of driving?
Oh my gosh, I think it might have been my old Volvo. It was like a 91 Volvo station wagon. Who it would only start if it wasn't raining or too much moisture in the air.
It's a foggy day. You're not getting to work.
I can't come in today.
Oh,
gonna have
wow.
to walk there. Can I get a ride? Yeah. Don't you have a car? Yeah, but it's raining out.
It's touch and go.
I love that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that all, I mean, many of us, right, like, had those crappy cars.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I was talking to one of the younger kiddos in my family, and they were telling me about their new car, and I was like, are you kidding me? Why isn't like a Renault Alliance or an old
1989 Oldsmobile 88?
Yeah.
Burgundy outside and inside.
Ooh.
Is that really the only color they made those in?
I think so. I think it was so much burgundy. But it was the best car for high school, right? Because big, reliable, got you everywhere you needed to go.
I had a hand-me-down Mercury Mountaineer from 1994 that my parents were like, okay, we're going to get your mom a new car, and so if you want to buy this car from us, you can do that. And I was like, that would be fine. And then they came up with a price. I'm like, you could take that to a dealership. I'm not going to be played as a chump. Are you kidding me? And I think that was the first day I learned to negotiate. But it had keyless entry on the side of it, which,
fancy.
I mean, how many people had keyless
That's
entry
fancy.
Right when they go?
That is fancy.
The problem is, though, is I gave everybody that code. In fact, 33113. So if you have it, I know someone owns it because I've seen it driving around town. So I would come out of like school and there'd be someone sleeping in the backseat of my car or rooting around for something. Or they're like, oh, I forgot my science book, so I was seeing if yours is in here. It was almost like a lounge.
The communal car.
The senior lounge was.
Well, that's because also your birthday's in October, so you would have been one of the oldest in your class.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So you were one of the first to have a vehicle, one of the first to have a license. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were that default person. I remember those default persons in my grade.
Well, and totally, because for us, I mean, many of us got cars, and again, I'm 50, like in college.
Yeah.
You know, like you weren't getting a car. I was giggling recently thinking about, remember those like ride share boards? No one's my age here.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about.
So your parents would be like, yeah, we'll just go down to the campus lobby and like sign up to drive home with someone you don't know.
Right.
Which it wasn't even a big deal. Like, okay.
I mean,
even
I did that. Even I would be like, oh, you lives where? Yeah, I'll bring you home this weekend. We did that stuff even when I was in college. Yes. And, you know, the whole like car thing, it was almost as though, I mean, people didn't get them until college. Also, if you had one in high school, you were one of the only ones. It wasn't like everybody drove. Okay, so the parking lots of the high school were full only because of seniors, right? Mm-hmm. Because they were the ones that had the vehicles the most. Maybe not you.
Yeah, I had a different experience.
You're in a rural school district.
Well, I mean, Climax isn't a bustling metropolis, but...
What?
But right, yeah. I mean, most of the 22 people I graduated with had a car
driving,
by the time they were their seniors.
Well, and I mean, if you had a car, it was mostly because, well, for me, it was like my mom couldn't keep up with all of my activities and so it was like a necessity thing. It was sort of like the cell phone. I had a cell phone, but that was embarrassing because the only reason you had a cell phone when we were in high school is so your parents could get a hold of you because your friends weren't calling you on it. It was like, I'm going to hide this in the glove compartment so no one sees it.
The first month I had my car, I was driving a carpool of, no, I was a taxi. I was a taxi for like seven other people, right?
Yes.
And at the end of the first month of me having this car, I told my dad, I was like, how many miles do you need before you get an oil change? He goes, so 3,000 miles. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to need one probably in a couple days. And he goes, how many miles do you put on that car? And I'm like, well, it's like 2,400 miles right now. And he goes, what? How is that even possible? I'm like, well, I do a lot of driving around, and gas is 92 cents a gallon, so it's right around that perfect price point for me. But then I got really smart, and I said, "Be like, listen, you're going to get a ride with me? I'm going to need you to buy me a pop or a candy bar." And so then I ended up with this buffet in the back of my car, where that's the other reason people would get in there. They always knew there was like bags of Cheetos.
You had JJ's General Store all the way back then?
I did. In fact, one time we ended up throwing up a lot in the parking lot of South High because we were drinking Coca-Cola on a 100-degree day, thinking like, how hot is this pop?
That's been in here.
So we take a sip, and the second it would hit your esophagus, it would explode. The fizz would go, and we were all, ugh. We still talk about that day.
my
God. Did they tell you idiots are drinking a hot pot?
Better or worse than putting a golf cart in the in hole two's water hazard?
I mean, I don't know. You know, like those are the moments that define our lives.
They really are. Problem solving or running.
It's Seat Yourself. Veronica, Michael, Eric Johnson, Amy Eiler, and JJ Gordon here for just a few more moments on KFGO. Veronica Michael, Eric Johnson, Amy Eiler, JJ Gordon, it is Seat Yourself on KFGO. Okay, Veronica, what is the surprising topic or thing that you really love or know a lot about that maybe not everybody knows? Like, if we went over to your house, it'd be like, wow, you have an aggressive amount of Elton John stuff or something like that. I don't know what it is.
I actually think I
do. Do you?
No, I think, wait, well, two things. I love religious iconography.
Oh, okay.
I do, and I'm like a junkie for it. And you know how things start out small and then get out of hand?
Yeah.
Yes.
So now I have like a room that's just like splattered with like all
So you have a literal shrine?
Yes. And people will come in and they're like, are you super religious? I'm like, well, I was raised Catholic. It's a long story.
I was raised Catholic and now I'm just really into
now
this.
Now I like the pretty pictures. And right, imagery. Exactly.
I directed a play years ago that was supposed to be set inside of an Irish church. It was a funeral in an Irish church. And so I needed to set dress with a bunch of stuff. So I called all these funeral homes and other churches, and they gave me just tons of stuff. And then the pandemic literally hit the week that this thing opened. And so I start getting a hold of these places, and they're like, yeah, we don't need any of that stuff back. So in my shed, I've got a kneeler, if you want a kneeler, with like bright red fabric on it. And a couple other things. So you might have to come over and take a gander.
Absolutely. Because I'm super interested.
I look like a real weirdo when people come over to borrow the weed whacker and they're like, you're starting a church in your shed? What's going on, buddy?
I like to say a few prayers before gardening. You
know? Our Father who plant in heaven. Right?
That's so interesting. So what did it start with?
You know, it started my friend Hoppy. He was a professor of English at Concordia. And he had given me this little sign that said, you know, please repent. If you have already repented, disregard this notice. And I thought it was so funny.
I love that.
So that's what starts it all. Yep, I love just, that.
Then he had this other sparkly Jesus save sign. Mm. And he gave that to me. Yeah, those were the two. Then it was just like, we're off to the races.
Here we go.
I mean, once you get a collection like that, it must make birthday presents really easy, right? Because it's like, oh, I'm just going to go down and find the weirdest thing I can find that has Christ on it, and I will bring it over and wrap it up.
Absolutely. Oh, I also really like tequila.
Oh, okay.
Oh, tequila, yes. A certain brand or just any?
Actually, I'm very picky. Casamigos Blanco is one of my favorite brands, and then Milagro Silver. Mm. For a cheaper option.
Okay, yeah.
And are you just drinking it, just the tequila?
I am.
Just the tequila?
Really?
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Well, of course I have a beer back.
Oh,
well,
okay, yeah. For sure. Duh.
That's interesting to me. Why? How do you find your way to tequila? Because most people experience it and they're like, yeah, no, this is not going to be the thing I go to.
Well, right? So I had a weird way. I was looking... Like, I just never really liked other things, like more brown liqueurs. So I was going to try it because everyone always says bad things about it. And then I was like, oh, my gosh, I realize I love this. And it's like my superpower.
Oh. It's and superpower.
So you never had the bad Jose Cuervo night.
No, I didn't. But okay, I have some bad stories about some other products that I probably should have not misused.
I love that. I love that. Thank you so much for coming in and being a part of Seat Yourself.
Oh,
it was so fun.
Thank you so much. Thanks for asking me.
But before you leave, we should probably let you get a little plug in because we talked so much about your business and the products that are your babies now. Tell people where they can find your products, where they can find more about what you guys do.
Yeah, thank you so much. So we are alternativeprairie.com. So you can go on the Googles and find us. And one of the things that differentiates us is that we make it. You know, we're the maker. And we're going to be starting a series of higher education classes where you can come in for 45 minutes with us and learn about how does this work in my body? How is it different when you consume it from your lungs to your liver? And, like, what are some of the effects? So you can go to alternativeprairie.com, learn more about us, and see some of our products. And we hope to see you at some of our events.
That's so cool. When's your first one? Do you have the date set?
Actually, when you go online, and we're setting out some cards because we're kind of having them generated from some friends, because I was going to ask you about this after this.
Oh, okay.
So I hope to see you all there. But yes. Yeah, so people can actually pick their date, how their group of eight can come in and sit with us.
Oh, very cool.
That's cool. So see, all about that learning. You're going to teach everybody else what you've learned.
So it wasn't far of a leap. It turns out you actually did bring that education back.
I did.
Way to bring it back together.
Yeah. It's called a callback in comedy. No big deal.
Veronica, Michael, thanks so much for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you, lady.
Come back again.
I would love
to. Okay, deal. Everybody.